Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 598 of the Drunk Dashers podcast. I'm host as always, I'm Tyler, and joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What's up, buddy?
Gaming, predominantly. I mean, I'll tell you what, man, it's like I have had like pretty much a forgettable week. I know with Sunday it started off with sewage backing up into my freaking shower, and also in my bathtub, and like inside of my living room, so... Yeah,
gross.
Let me have the shovel shit, you know, that's a nice way to begin a morning. But, yeah, it wasn't a better day. That whole Sunday was just kind of a horrible day in general. But the work week itself wasn't too bad, but I did do something that was enjoyable, and that was I did have a good play a fair share of video games. Nice. I played, not only did I play and finish off Pokemon Crystal, which we'll speak in little bit more about later and stuff, but I played through the story mode of Tekken 8. Ooh. And also I've had a chance to play like another game that I can go into a little brief and stuff as well. But yeah, I felt super focused that I just wanted to try to delve right into playing some games. So yeah, it's just been sort of like one of those weeks where it's just like crazy, but I feel like I'm getting back on the right track. Yeah. How about yourself, Tyler?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, you know. It's definitely weird. It's the first weekend without football. So it's always kind of weird because it's, like, it's kind of exciting because it's like, oh, cool. Like I love football, you know, but it's also like just takes up so much goddamn time in your weekend. It takes up, like, especially, you know, I'm a college fan so as well. Like I'm an Iowa Hawkeye fan. So basically that's like 4 hours on Saturday at the minimum. And then basically all of Sunday is just NFL. And then also Monday night and Thursday night on top of it. So just takes up so much free time. So it's like, oh man, I got all this time, but it's also like, oh shit. Like, I don't know. Like what did I do before? Like, is there shows I watch, like I missed out on, or like, I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. I just don't know what to do with all this extra time now. Like, you know, it's first world problems kind of scenario here, but yeah, I'm doing okay. You know, otherwise a nice little, it's kind of like a first time in a while where it wasn't a crazy week at work and it was just kind of things went as expected. For the most part. So it was like, oh, this is nice. Like a nice little work-life balance. So that was fun. You know, I've been also playing a new game. It came out, I think last week. I've been playing Helldivers 2. I bought that today. So I'll talk about that later. But, yeah, it's been nice. Feeling pretty good, you know, clanging and banging as always. But, Gables, the video game world is in shambles right now. Before we get in that, if you guys like the show, like what we're doing, if you want to keep watching, please like, follow, subscribe, check us out in all the places. We're on YouTube, every podcast service out there. Look for us, Drunk Dash Nerds, Drunk Nerds Podcast. You'll find us. Leave 5 stars, leave comments, leave reviews. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on all those places. There are links down below in the description. And just, you know, click on those and support us wherever you can. We really, really would appreciate it if you did that for us. More importantly, though, if you can go to the YouTube channel and subscribe and give us a thumbs up and all that, that appreciate that, because that's the big thing we're pushing, really trying to make strides to that. We're getting closer and closer to that 500 subscriber mark, which means good things for us and only helps out. So if you can do that, really would appreciate it. But Gables,
yes,
let's get into it. We basically got like three big news stories, all three from like the console makers, which is pretty crazy. I don't remember a lot of times where that's happened in the past, but we're just going to start off with kind of one of the bigger ones here. One of the more immediate ones going on right now is the Xbox news. So we talked about last week. They had we've talked about pretty much all year. Like, there's been a lot of rumors and rumblings about everything going on with Xbox. About, ooh, Hi-Fi Rush to Sea of Thieves. Are they coming to their party? Oh, my God. And now with Starfield to come. We did a whole emergency podcast about Starfield and Gears and everything. Are they going third party now? The future of Xbox. And we had like a 22-minute long podcast from Xbox here. Phil Spencer, Matt Booty, and Sarah Bond were there. And they kind of started off here. They said that they have four games coming to other platforms. They did not name the four, but they said all four are over a year old. Two are live service games. Two are smaller games. Pretty easy to figure out. It's Pentiment, Hi-Fi Rush, Sea of Thieves, and Grounded. And then they also said that Starfield and Indiana Jones are not going to other platforms. So that's kind of the two major things off the... I think we could probably just start from there and break it down, Gables, before we go on some other stuff here. But kind of hearing that news, like, I don't know. You know, coming from a couple weeks ago, we were like we're pulling all the fire alarms, freaking out. Like, where are we at now?
Honestly, it's honestly with like just from that point and stuff. I mean, I'm not surprised though, that they went through and like said, okay, they are actually going through like with the four games and stuff for the other systems and stuff. Just confirmed all that stuff and stuff. I thought that revealing that Starfield and also like
Indiana Jones,
Indiana Jones and stuff, not you know just being exclusive and stuff for right now and stuff like that. Yeah, I kind of expected them to do that. I mean, that's just something that we've heard rumblings of now, and they had to really just go forth to confront it. I think it was Phil Spencer also that said it's like, well, they were going to be talking about like the thing like Activision Blizzard and stuff, but like they had to go and try to do this, to put it out of the way first. That, hey, these two games are going to be exclusive on the Xbox platform and stuff, but if there's anything that we've learned just from that beginning part of that statement, you know, it's like, if those games... There's nothing, say, down the line where they couldn't be going on to, like, say, a PlayStation or something like that, or a Nintendo system or something at some point, you know, because this is just the beginning of this sort of aspect of it, you know. It's kind of like a, it's sort of like a philosophy in terms of what they're doing currently, which kind of makes sense now to where they want their Game Pass and stuff to be on just... like their system and stuff, and then people, if you want to play a day and day, go to Xbox and stuff for their console, play Game Pass, and if you want to play these exclusives and stuff like that, that were exclusives, like on your platform of choice or something, you got to pay full price for it. That's kind of like the thing I got from this.
I think it's one of those things where, like, I talked about a couple weeks ago when like we did the Emergency podcast, that the worst thing right now is the fact that like, it's just rumors and discussions, and the problem is like there's no answers, so it just makes all of our minds go wild, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, to go into a personal story here, I talked about a couple like a month ago where I had like 11 doctor visits, and like there was concerns about, you know, prostate or testicular cancer, and they were like, we don't think it's likely, but you know, it's something we're going to check out here. And I had to go to like three different doctor appointments over like 2 weeks to get seen by the doctor to do the test. So like, even though they said it's a minor concern, like, but it's unlikely, but like, because you don't have answers, your fucking mind goes crazy for weeks.
Yep.
And you're like, what, you know, like what's going on here? Like, am I going to die? Like you start like, but like, obviously this is different. This is Xbox. This is a video game going on here.
Yeah.
But like, it was like for basically, I'm not trying to like, this is not a sippy thing. This is like, this is something that happened to me like just recently, like a couple months ago, but it was like, you know, your mind goes wild until you finally get some answers. And like, okay, then like, oh, wow, geez, I completely overreacted there. Like, you know, I'm just like, is this my last Christmas? Is this my last time spending my birthday with my sister, like seeing my sister on her birthday? Like, shit like that. Like, is this the last Indiana Jones thing that's going to be, you know, that's going to be exclusive to the Xbox? You know, both things equally important, you know? anyways, it's a good, but like,
oh my God, Tyler! I think you need to put your priorities, dude.
You know, like these, you know, this is where my life is right now. Anyways, like it's like I said, like it's you, like we all went that we talked about it, like you know, like I think we were pretty calm, and but we also made this like discussion, like you know, this could be important. Like it talks about like, you know, like these games that I bought digitally. These like, you know, what's, is there a next console? And like they kind of answer. They, I feel like they're like, I know a lot of people don't like Phil, and it's easy to like hate on Phil. It's like just like any other like spokesperson for any other brand, anything. Like he is the head of Xbox. It's a lot of market speak. I like Sarah Bond. I like Matt Booty. I like Phil Spencer. I think they're good communicators, and especially nowadays where like we don't have Iwata, we don't have a Reggie, we don't have Andrew House out there anymore to kind of be like the faces of these consoles anymore. It's nice to still have that, and I think Phil is a really good communicator. I feel like sometimes maybe he kind of over communicates, and like we've seen him like be very open and honest. But he did that kind of funny X-Cast last year, and like kind of like they were trying to like make it like trying to turn it into a positive. He's like, no, I don't want to be positive right now. I want to just, you know, I'm gonna just like basically just kind of airing of grievances and just like, hey, I fucked up. You know, like I don't know. I it's so seldom in the video game industry. It's just kind of nice to see. But like I feel like he did a good job of explaining it. Like obviously people are upset about the him not saying the four games. I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt, I guess, where it's like probably have marketing deals in place. Probably like there's been Jeff Grubb mentioned that there was supposed to be a direct That's been moved around multiple times now because of the Xbox news. So it's, and it sounds like Perro, I can't remember the guy, the main leaker on Twitter that like he's leaks everything for Nintendo directs and stuff. He said there's gonna be a partner direct next week. So everything's kind of lining up that's gonna be the case, and probably we're gonna see one or two of these games at this event as well. So I don't know, like. It's one of those things where it's like we all kind of overreacted. Maybe like, and you can always play the what if game, and it's like, oh well, he didn't 100% say, like, this will never happen. You know, but you know, in industry, you can never say never. And if you do, and you backtrack on it, people are just gonna, you know, it's like you're just kind of putting yourself into a corner. So I get it for what it is. You know, you always take everything they say with a grain of salt. Obviously, I'm not saying like I'm gonna like 100% follow every word they're saying, but I don't know. I came away, I was like, all right, like. Cool. Like we all kind of overreacted. Everybody overreacted. But like I said, it was easy to do that when you don't have the information in place and we're just kind of running with limited information that we have. Some of the other stuff that we talked about later on was gaming hasn't grown, which is something that we've been talking about quite a bit. I think a lot of people have been talking about for a while now is big thing. Part of the, like we talked about with the layoffs going on in the last year and a half. Year plus now in video games. And he said kind of one of the things is he said here is like either we find a way to charge more to our current consumers or we find other ways to grow and expand the brand. And this is their way of doing it. And like these four games, Sea of Thieves and Grounded. Grounded has been out for a couple of years now. Sea of Thieves has been out for like several years. That was an Xbox One game. And I imagine they well tapped out their market. So yeah, like putting it out on possibly the Switch, but at least PlayStation 5 is, you know, that could be a big boom for them, and that might be bring old people back. I talked about this at the time with like Hi-Fi Rush, and we're like, Hi-Fi Rush was my game of the year last year, and I would absolutely love to have a second one. And he mentioned like Hi-Fi Rush and Pentiment were passion projects from Xbox, like from those people working on it. And like Pentiment was, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was a director of Fallout New Vegas. And it was basically, he was going to leave Obsidian. And they're like, well, what if like, there's this game he wanted to make. I was like, we'll let you make this game, but you got to make this game for us. We don't know what that game is yet. You could probably figure out, maybe it's New Vegas. I don't know. But, you know, like, this was like his passion project. They let him make it. It's out on Game Pass. It came out, in like holiday, like 2022. So I don't know how many people played it, but so like putting it out on another platform, Hi-Fi Rush and Pentiment, I talked about the time, Hi-Fi Rush, game of the year. I doubt that sold many, if any, Xbox series consoles. And it maybe did, I doubt it had a major boost to the Game Pass supporters. So if I want, like, hey, we're going to let our developers make these smaller games, these passion projects, but we're probably going to put them on other platforms later, and like I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. It makes sense. And like I talk about forever, like I think if we can have these great developers that make these big huge games also make some really cool smaller games, that's fucking awesome. That's great. And yeah, like, you know, I don't know, like, but I'll also see from I don't follow any brand. I have all the consoles. I like, you know, like I'm just gonna, I go where the great, like, I go, I always say I go where the games are at. So yeah, but next up, like you talk about, like he was talking about gaming isn't growing, and like finding a way to charge more for consumers that you already have, or find a way to expand, and that's something we're seeing across the board in basically everything right now that's been going on for the last couple of years now. Like we talk about, like prices and everything is going up. We always talk about, like, you know, the alleged recession that never came, and that's been the big problem is. Things aren't growing, and in the society that we are built, the way that the United States is built, is, you know, and I'm not going to go on another tangent, my million tangent about Wall Street here, but what this is the facts here is that when you are a publicly traded company, if you're making $1 billion a year in profit, you can't just continue to make $1 billion a year in profit. That's not okay. Next year, you got to make 1.2, then you got to make 1.5, then you got to make 2, then you got to make 3, then you got to make 8, then you got to make 11. It goes up and up and up. You always got to be growing. And he's talking about like gaming year. We talk about, we do the Circana, formerly the NPDs, every month. We talk about them. We talk about like, okay, year over year, It sold this. It's down this much. It's up this much. Year over year is up about 1%. It's not really growing. And they were thinking it's gonna be 4 or 5%. And we talk about forever about the big boost during COVID that didn't last. And it's kind of tailed off a little bit. So, that's part of what it is. You talk about the layoffs and a little bit of bullshit on that one. You work for the biggest company in the history of mankind. We've seen Game Pass already go up $2 a month. We see PlayStation Plus going up $20 a month. We feel this everywhere. Streaming services are all like Disney Plus doubled its fucking price like year over year. Hulu has gone up $3-4. Amazon Prime added a ad tier to their service that you already pay $15 a month for. Now it's got an ad tier for $3 a month. Everything is finding a way to we've maxed out what we like. It's not growing as fast, or we've maxed out what we can do. So we're just going to charge more. And we feel like we feel that in everything right now. That's what's going on in the United States right now. So that's what he's going to talk about. So I get it. Obviously, like I said, they upped the price of Game Pass. So it's not like they're not trying to find ways to charge us more. They are. But, I don't know. Other than making their games $80 or giving a Game Pass altogether, I don't know what else they can do. And then next up here, a couple smaller things here. Diablo 4 is coming to Game Pass on March 28th. So kind of a big deal there. So and I think the expansion's coming sometime in the early part of 2024, so it makes sense to put that out, and then right as the big expansion is coming, so people, hey, we have Game Pass, already on this thing, I can play it on Game Pass, and bam, a new expansion come out, buy that. So that's smart business to do, and it's probably the biggest game you could probably put on Game Pass right now, outside of like a Call of Duty. So and then they did confirm there will be another Xbox, and they said they're going to talk about more about another Xbox later, possibly coming later this year. I'm assuming that's either the discless Xbox that's been leaked out there for a while now, or maybe there's been talks of I don't know if this is leaks or just people discussing it about a handheld Xbox, kind of Steam Deck type thing, but I don't know. Anything you want to add on that one, Gibbles, before we move on?
The only thing I really wanted to add on that is I'm not surprised that they are trying to announce a console. Well, not just announce a console, but just have some form of hardware possibly announced towards the end of the year, in terms of what it could be. I mean, we've saw leaked things in regards to supposed leaked stuff
that weird
from the next Xbox system that, the rumors going on right now about the major console manufacturers that want to make their own handheld similar to the Switch and the Steam Deck and all of this stuff. That, in my honest opinion, if that happens, I'm more welcome to it. I mean, granted, that would be awesome in terms of having your Game Pass system stuff or your Xbox platform and stuff, and PlayStation do whatever in terms of that though. But it's just so much easier just to go and just bring your console with you and stuff, and just play the games that you want to play on it and stuff, and not having to deal with a whole bunch of random bullshit. But it was just kind of one of those podcasts and stuff to where it was just a reaffirm of hey, this is what we're doing, this is our plan. It's basically answering a bunch of different questions and then nonchalantly, just kind of that typical sort of business speak of, oh hey, Xbox is doing this well, this all right, and then this is coming to here, and then it kind of felt in a ways that there are some substantial things that were announced right here. It's they are getting four exclusive games to other systems, but also that they are still in the hardware market. They are still thinking about producing more hardware in that retrospect. And just the confirmation of that, so that way they're not, really freaking out anything and stuff. The major, people that vest into the Xbox ecosystem and stuff with Game Pass, with this and that, But, it was also sort of uneventful, too, because it's there's this, there's the basic stuff, and then that was it, It was just a basic, 20-minute, blurb. The only major thing that really came out of that was, other than the hardware stuff, just Diablo 4 being on Game Pass and stuff like that, what was it, May?
March 28th.
March 28th.
Yeah.
You know what?
It, yeah,
Yeah.
go ahead.
I'm just saying, it's like, I'm kind of glad that that's going to be coming on the Game Pass and stuff, because there's no way in hell I'm paying fucking $70 for that shit.
Yeah. I mean, I've never played Diablo 4, so I'll at least check it out. But like, yeah, I agree with you. It was definitely like, I guess it's uneventful in the way that it was like kind of just like, yeah, it's business as usual. Like, this
Yeah.
is stuff Phil and Sarah and Matt have been saying for years now about like they've already, about like bringing stuff. We've already seen like Ori go over to the Switch. We see Cuphead is on
Yep.
everything. So it's just like he's been talking about for a while. It's like he just wants going in this generation, or even like in the last generation, they're talking about we just want gamers in the ecosystem. We
Yes.
want people being customers of Xbox, and like this is a great way to do it. And like, I mean, obviously, you never say never about Indiana Jones, Starfield, and all that. Like, who knows? A year from now, we can reconvene on this. But yeah, I think that's why it was uneventful. It was like it just kind of went the way you thought it, like kind of what
Yep.
we thought it was gonna go a month ago, and it was really just the last 2 weeks where it just kind of everything went to shit, and they kind of had to do it. But I don't know. I mentioned this last week where I felt it at least had to be a video. I'm kind of surprised how much it was, honestly. But I was like, you can't, like, you need to talk this out, kind of like instead of just being a blog post, like really kind of talk it out and be more of like, because people are gonna pick apart what you say. People are already picking apart what they said.
Yeah,
But
pretty much.
like, at least you could talk it out, and like people that like actually watch and listen can like, most sane people can kind of figure out what they're saying here. And and then there's people that are just gonna read the headlines and lose their fucking minds. But you're gonna have those people. There's nothing you can do about them. But moving on here, Gables, let's get into the other, well, one of the other console makers out there, Gables. Let's talk about the Nintendo Switch 2. It's funny. I talked about like a while ago about like I really don't want to talk about like there's gonna be like I don't want to do what we did with the Wii U or with the Switch when going into the Switch, where it's like when it was still the NX and like there was just rumor after rumor every week, every day. It felt like there was just the next big rumor, and we talked about it nonstop. And by the time everything was announced, I was so fucking sick and tired of talking about it. I don't want to do it. And I said that over and over. I don't want to do that again with the Nintendo console. But I feel like this is like the third time this year we're doing it, because this kind of feels like worth talking about, Gables. And it might be the thing that finally breaks me. I might have to quit the podcast, Gables, because I don't know if I could do another year of this. Apparently, the Switch 2, whatever you want, what's it called, Switch 2, is being delayed to first quarter of next year, so between January and March, to make sure like the first party games are gonna be stronger and more ready to go. So yeah, there's not a lot of information on this other than that. If that basically they told some other publishers and developers this information, and obviously that's once you start telling other people, that's when like shit leaks. But we've seen multiple. I would say Andy Robinson broke the story from VGC. He is very well tuned into the Nintendo ecosystem with people, and like he's one that broke the news about like Nintendo showing off the hardware last year at Gamescom.
Gamescom, yeah.
Yeah, and he's pretty on top of things, and we've seen Bloomberg, who's also been very good about reporting information, especially on the hardware side, breaking news about this, and a couple other. I think Eurogamer also reported on this as well. So a lot of people, like a lot of the big names out there. That you feel pretty confident about talking about this or talking about it. And I don't know. I mean, I've said forever, like I wanted the PS4, a PS5, and Xbox Series consoles to come out in March. I actually really loved the Switch coming out in March, because it was like cool. The people that really wanted it got it at launch, and then like also gave it like, hey, there's gonna be a lot of great games coming. And then in the holidays, and everybody wanted to buy it for Christmas presents.
Yeah.
Then those people can buy it for Christmas. So it kind of made a lot, it kind of made everything feel a lot easier. And like, it wasn't as, like, obviously it was harder to get still that first year, but it was like, it kind of stretched everything out. And I feel like that should just be the way to go forever. It's just like, hey, put it out in spring and then have the, let the hardcore get the thing they want at launch. And then Christmas, when everybody else, wants to get it for their kids or whatever, then they can get it. And, so I'm okay with this. I love this idea. And also, like, hey, if you want to have a strong, like, the thing that made the Switch, honestly, the Switch wasn't, I mean, obviously, like, what it was as a hardware, it was cool, but it was that launch window. Like, more importantly, what's that launch is, like, what's the, because really, when at launch, you're probably going to play one or two, three, maybe three games at launch. But it's like, cool. Like, but 6 months from now, what am I gonna be playing? And
Yes.
so you want like they had that really great like what we had like ARMS with Splatoon 2, we had Xenoblade Chronicles 2, then we had Mario plus Rabbids, then we had Super Mario Odyssey. I know I'm probably forgetting one or two in there, but like five or six big games in the first like 8 9 months on the market.
Yep.
So if you definitely want to do that again, and I'm sure like probably most developers are like, hey, cool, give me an extra 3 4 months to make this everything ready to go too. Like I'm sure they're gonna be fine with it. So, give us how are you feeling about potentially waiting another 4 or 5 months for a Nintendo hardware?
I feel pretty good about it, only because if we're getting like one solid year or something remaining for the Nintendo Switch before the successor comes out, I mean, I'm more welcome to it. Also, it lines up well with what they're doing right now with the release stuff. I mean, you're either getting like smaller games or like remaster of like other games that are releasing this year. I mean, one just released this not even that long ago with Mario vs. Donkey Kong, the remake
Yesterday.
of the Game Boy Advance
Yeah.
game. But there's also like lots of rumors about potential like remakes and stuff that could be coming out this year, like Metroid Prime 2. That one's been rumored to come out this year. I mean, the other one that hasn't been really announced, but people are possibly thinking that it could happen. It's like Fire Emblem, that genealogy, like that
Yeah,
one.
I had that written down. I have four written down here. Because that's the thing we've been talking about a lot is like how are they gonna figure this out? What are we gonna do with Metroid Prime 4? Like, is that a cross-gen thing? Is that like they bump it to Switch 2? Like, and it kind of makes like assuming what we think is gonna happen, it makes everything kind of slide into place easier. Where
Yep.
like, all right, cool, Metroid Prime 4, maybe that's a big holiday game. Then you have Pokemon Black and White or whatever it's gonna be, also coming out in November, like it always does. Then yeah, you have Genealogy of the Holy War, the Fire Emblem game, and then.
Yep.
The other thing I had written down here, the Xeno, what the fuck? Zelda Wind Waker Twilight Princess HD collection that's
Either
been
that
done
or
forever.
potential, or maybe even like a or even like a remake of, say, like, you know, Oracle of Seasons or Ages or whatever type of thing that
I
they're gonna
feel like
go off
you would
with
say if something like
for
that, you probably
Zelda.
that would be like a good thing to have for the next console. Like save that for like the holiday, like there's been like I've been hearing a lot of people talking about like a Ocarina remake for a while
That
now.
sounds like something that could be well done, like, say, on the next system,
That's what I
if that
mean.
were the
Like I
case.
feel like if you're gonna have a remake, you're like I feel like you're gonna have a Zelda, like a new Zelda remake or something like that, other than these like these the Wind Waker Twilight Princess thing. Perfect thing to throw on, like put it out in the September or something, for the Switch. People will buy it, it's gonna sell a couple
Well,
million
yeah,
copies, people are gonna be happy with it.
there really wouldn't be too much just to go and port that over and stuff from like the Wii U to the Switch
Nothing's
itself.
been
I
done
mean,
for a while now, so it's not
yeah.
like it's just been sitting like the genealogy of the Holy World War has been done. Jeff Grubb has been re
Supposedly, yeah.
talk about this for a couple years now. It's been done. And like this is something we know about Nintendo. Like pick that Pikmin 3 Deluxe thing was just sitting there waiting to come out. The same thing with the Paper Mario Origami King. Like those games were just done and they were just like waiting for like gaps in like the release schedule to put out. So
Exactly, because it's sort of like how with some people do with like with retail in terms of organizing specific types of like displays. You don't want to overfill like a section with like a lot of content or a lot of product on there because customers are less likely to go forth and invest delving into it. Like if it's all like cram packed, it doesn't look that great or something, or it takes them like an hour just to go through everything. The same thing can really apply with what Nintendo has done with the releases of some of their major games to where they've already had a lot of these games like either have been made, sat on, but yet waiting to like just fill different gaps inside of the schedule stuff that would more make sense in terms of this overall period. And this final year, really, for like the last major like hurrah here for the Nintendo Switch before the successor comes out, this is the most ideal way to just unload those type of games.
Yeah, and like if you have that big, huge, like the next Zelda game, whether it's a remake or something, or like it's a remake of Ocarina, or it's they, it's a remake of like I don't know, like Link to the Past or something like that. Like that's a perfect game to put on the next console. Like that's too big to
Right,
be on
right.
the Switch. For where the Switch is now in its life cycle, that game is like the next big like Ocarina or something like that. That game is too big for where the Switch is now.
So
like
Absolutely.
I almost feel like Metroid Prime 4 is too big for the Switch now, but it's like you literally, it was one of the first games you announced for the Switch. You kind of have to put it on the Switch. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if I can do another year of people like depends on how it goes. I hope they let's like announce it soon and reveal it so we can just get that out of the way, because Gables, it might break me if we have to do if we do the NX again for until like October to November. The podcast might not be around. We might
Oh,
we'll make it to
yes.
600, but we might not make it to 7. So
Dude.
it might be the end.
This really reminds me of like that kind of that whole rumors like surrounding the original like Nintendo Switch and stuff before that was announced and that was released and stuff. This really just reminds me of the same thing.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. I've been talking about for like I think I've already talked about for like a year now. It's just I can't do it. Just I hope they just announce it soon so we can just get out of the way. We will have to wait and see Gables on that. But I don't know, whatever. Obviously take care of the shit and like yeah, if we can have a great launch lineup, window, perfect. But let's move on to one of the last topics we have here. Let's get into the other hardware developer that we haven't talked about yet. It's about PlayStation here. So we've been talking about a lot, like even like last year I was talking about a lot where like going into 2024 is like this might be like one of the years we go into where we just know the least about what's going on with them. Obviously we had the State of Play a couple weeks ago, I think 2 3 weeks ago, and like okay cool, we have like a lot of stuff they showed off was like we had Helldivers 2, which I'm playing, I'll talk about it. That's a first party game, but everything else is like third party games they made deals with to be exclusive on their platform. But we don't really know what's big is coming from them. And so they did they had their quarterly financial quarterly report for PlayStation, and they talked about, so we had some updates here. PS5 sales are up to 54.7 million units sold,
Whoa. Okay.
which is pretty good. It's behind where the PS4 was, but like obviously like COVID fucked a lot of things up. But we're just over that's basically 3 years in. We're at 54. We're about half of where the PS4 was. PS4 is now, or end up being at. I think it's like the 110 mark somewhere in there. But they did say it's lower than what they forecasted. But people, I guess, when they announced like what they were expecting to sell 25 million units during the fiscal year. So that's from April 1st of last year to March 31st of this year. People, they said they want to sell 25. That was their target. And people were saying that's a pretty lofty goal in general. As of right now, so in the last quarter, that's from October 1st through December 31st, they sold 8.2 million consoles, bringing it up to 16.4 million for so far 9 months into the fiscal year. They said they're falling behind what they anticipated. And now they're bringing it down to, they expect to sell 21 million units in the fiscal year. So basically, they're expecting to sell about another 5 million this quarter here that we're currently in. And they said, regarding first party software, we aim to continue to focus on producing high quality productions and producing live service games. But while major projects are currently under development, we do not plan to release any new major existing franchises, titles, and you included like God of War, Ragnarok, Marvel, Spider-Man 2, Last of Us, stuff like that. Like basically like the games that we know are going to come out and sell like 20 million units. So this, and this is also coming from the new like PlayStation president. I can't remember his name, something like I remember it now, it's gone. But this is a guy that like Jim Ryan retired. This guy is like, he's not from the PlayStation brand, he's from the Sony side of things. So this
Yes.
like gaming is not his thing that he does. He's like basically he's just filling in until they hire the guy to replace him, to re replace Jim. So I feel like you gotta take some shit with a grain of salt here, because he probably has like, he's just coming in is like, wait, how's like we're making games that cost 200 to 300 million that are gonna sell, and like these are gigantic risks that we're making. Like obviously like Spider-Man 2 is profitable, like these games are profitable, but they have to sell a lot of units to break even.
Yes.
But kind of the thing is like been talked about with these like these big huge Sony games, like these big budget 200 300 million $300 million games, is they're like, I don't want to call them loss leaders, but they're like kind of like the thing, like best way I understand and explain it is basically like bars will sell like a cheeseburger that they actually like, it cost them, like, they lose money on that transaction of you buying a cheeseburger. They make it so cheap that, like, well, I got up, it's, oh, it's only, you know, $7. I'll buy the cheeseburger basket, sure. But it costs the bar $9 to make it. But you're going to spend more, you're going to buy more drinks waiting for that. And also you're going to eat, and then you're going to want to buy more drinks. So they lose money on that transaction, but they gain the money elsewhere. That's kind of like the idea of basically these like games. Like, they're going to make money on them, but like, maybe not all of them, but like the big thing is like people are going to buy consoles to play these games, and then they're going to buy other games on this console, and they're like, hey, we're going to make 30% of every transaction that's done on this console. It was confirmed that Spider-Man 2 did sell 10 million units, which is pretty impressive. Like, what, like 2 months on the market, already sold 10 million units. And so far, the two Spider-Man 1, 2, and Miles Morales have combined over 50 million units. The PS Plus is actually at a record high, 123 million users. Wow. They did say software sales increased by 3.2 million year over year, bringing it to 90 million units so far the fiscal year. Digital sales are up to 66% of their sales, which is, I believe Xbox might be a little higher. Nintendo Switch is, I believe, like 54%. So we're now seeing pretty much all three console makers are over 50%. So it's kind of where we're at now with that. And they also did say kind of the big thing here that everybody's freaking out about is it missed what they were hoping to sell for consoles. But the next two things is like kind of thing that people are freaking out about that I feel like once you like think, it's one of those things where I feel like if you think about it for more than like a minute, you can kind of answer the question yourself here. But they mentioned that the PS5 is in the latter stage of its life. And then also they talked about a lot about multi-platform with PC. And they mentioned multi-platform and people lost their fucking minds thinking that, oh God, now PlayStation is going third party. He was answering a question about PC. So This was in relation to PC, not Xbox, not Nintendo. So I just want to point that out. So, I mean, Gables, coming out of this, what are we thinking? How are you feeling about PlayStation right now?
Probably the same as it's always been, you know, when I hear that the PlayStation 5 was like, what he was saying, the PlayStation 5 was like from the later half of its like life cycle or something like that. I thought about it, you know, I'm like, why would he say that? But at the same time, they could always, I thought of it as like maybe like a mid-gen like refresh or something like that with another system or something like that for the, not like another version of the PS5, you know, that's what I kind of interpreted PS5 that. Pro. I mean, it's not like what people are thinking of, oh, they're going to really wrap up this PS5 and stuff and go with PS6. No, that's not what they're doing. That's not financially feasible at this moment in time because they have so many active users on the PlayStation 5 currently. They have a lot of games here that have like multi-millions of dollars of selling. I mean, hell, we just touched upon Spider-Man 2 with that threshold and stuff that it did, like 50 million users or something like that?
Well,
or
50
that...
million between the three, but the Spider-Man 2 is over... Three. Spider-Man over 2 10 was million. Over 10 million, yeah.
Okay, that's right, that's right. It's over 10 million. But, no, man, I think just people just freaking out over nothing in this stuff because it just sounds like to me they're going to be planning a mid-gen refresh, kind of like what they did with the PS4 and stuff, and then they're going to extend it a bit further, and like it'll be probably another 2 or 3 years some before and another initial successor, you know? So it's like, it's the same, it's just a general type of console life cycle.
Yeah. And the way I look at it here is when you say latter half means the second half. And we're over a little over 3 years in. Let's say, okay, 2026, 2027 is when we get a new console. Yeah. Okay, yeah. We're probably about
sounds the about midway, right.
Second half of the life cycle. So yeah, maybe not the smartest thing to say, but also, like I said, this guy is not a guy that came from PlayStation side of things. He is from the Sony side of things. He doesn't.
And you can tell.
Yeah. And I feel like the way he talked was like, I don't know. Maybe he's like I kind of came like, I don't know. I'm curious how people, he's almost, maybe he's like the hard ass they sent in to like, hey, like we got to fix this shit. Like Jim Ryan's big thing was like, have these big games that like spend all this money on our big games, make people buy our consoles. To then we're going to just make all the fucking money off of like, you know, people buying Fortnite skins, people buying majority of third-party games, they're going to buy it on our platform. And that's pretty much been the case, and it's, you know, it's working out for them on that side. And it's a big thing where we talk about, like, you know, Xbox, oh, they might as well just go day and date on PlayStation. It's like, well, okay, well, if you are, like, the Xbox in general is profitable because they just get 30% of everything that is bought on their console. Like, if you have a platform that is successful, like, you can just a hardware service, and you can just print money by taking 30% cut of everything that's bought on your platform. Like, and that's kind of where we're at. And, like, I don't know, like, they're about 54 million, so they're behind where the PS4 was. But I think a big part of that you look at, like, obviously, it's, I mean, it's never any story here of COVID. COVID is the majority of consoles sell, the majority of consoles are sold in the first few years of its life cycle. Look at the first 2 years of the life cycle. You couldn't get a PS5 or an Xbox Series console anywhere. And we there was reports now that, like, the PS5 has almost doubled the sales of the Xbox Series consoles. Like, it's almost 2-to-1. And yep. Xbox couldn't keep up with fucking production levels of what they, like, those things were hard to find for 2 years. And yes, it's just now in the last year now where we've been able to get these things. And the problem is they kind of missed the boat where, like, gaming blew up in 2020, 2021.
Yep.
And pretty much, I think a lot of people that were, like, that got into gaming because of COVID, because, like, you're stuck at home, might as well buy video games. Maybe that was kind of a fad to them. Those people either bought the console, or if they didn't get it, like, they just kind of gave up, or they just, by the time they're readily available, they moved on.
Yeah.
So they missed that boat. And when you think about, you know, okay, it's behind where PS4 was. PS4, when it came out, the Wii U was a fucking joke. Xbox One was no challenge. They were basically alone in the video game sphere. Like, it was just PS4. So everybody just bought a PS4 because that was the way to go. And on top of that, when you look at, like, video game hardware, like home consoles, how many home consoles have actually broken 100 million? Four? Switch?
Mostly.
Wii U? Or not Wii U. Switch, Wii, PS4, PS2. That's the list. That's it.
Yep.
So, I mean, when you look at, like, okay, it's not, maybe this thing doesn't break 100 million, but, like, Xbox 360 was incredibly popular. Sold about 80 million units. So, like, I don't know. Like, I think sometimes we're like, this is why when we talk about, like, Switch sales, and we do the quarterly reports on the Nintendo Switch, and we're like, okay, this is where all the games sold. It's like, you can't compare this to what's going on over there. And when I talk about, like, PlayStation's a lead platform, I don't include Nintendo in that because it's its own thing. Nintendo is winning by not competing in this race. They're in their own thing, doing their own thing, and they're doing incredibly well over there right now. Obviously, we talked about last week with, like, they can easily Wii U the thing, but and also on top of that, like, we talk about all the time where games are just in a rough spot right now. And I was Dice Awards happened this week, and so they have a lot of people, like, in the video game world, going to Las Vegas for the Dice Awards, and kind of the rumble, like, a lot of things where people were talking about was, like, you know, 2023 was a really bad year for the industry as a whole with the layoffs and all these games being canceled. You were telling me, like, you sent me that thing about how Capcom had canceled 5 games. They canceled 5 games. But you look at, like, Embracer in the last 6 months of last year canceled 30 games. Xbox had a bunch of layoffs at the beginning of 2023, and they had canceled several games that were in development. PlayStation's canceling games development. Everybody's canceling games. Square Enix is talking about the data. They're going and, like, looking at and, like, they're figuring out, okay, they're looking at, like, their games as a whole and, like, what they're doing. And that's the thing going on right now and everything is, like, okay, cool. Like, we're in this weird spot now. Like, entertainment as a whole. I know I'm rambling about this episode of Gables, and I apologize. But entertainment as a whole has not figured out this generation at all. And, like, you want to blame millennials, you want to blame Gen X, I guess. But I don't think that's the issue. I think it's the issue as, like, where entertainment is right now, where there's so many different, like, you're not just competing with other, PlayStation is not just competing with Xbox. They're not just competing with Nintendo. They're competing with Netflix. They're competing with TikTok. They're competing with Instagram Reels. They're competing with everything. And everybody's competing with everybody's time. Time is what you're competing with. You're trying to compete to get people's times. And everybody's only got so much time. We're all busy, you know, especially as we get older, we have less time than ever. So it's harder and harder to, like, get that time from people. And you look at where we were a decade ago to where we are now. It's a lot different. And like I just talked about, PS4 was the thing by itself. I don't know. I kind of, like, a long ramble there, but I don't know. I think it's even, like, a point to end it off, but, like, that was kind of my point in general. It's like, we live in this era where, like I said, like, gaming year over year was up 1%, but these games have gone up drastically in price. So there's a point where absolutely. Things are going to break. And like I talk about, like people haven't figured out, like people aren't going to the movie theaters anymore. So it's like, cool. Like, you know, those the B level games, those B movies that came out, not the B movie with Jerry Seinfeld, but like B level movies that came out, like people don't go to the movie theaters to see those movies anymore. There's like they have Netflix now, they have Paramount. Like kids don't go to the movie theaters anymore to go hang out because people went to when we were kids and we're like when our parents were kids, they went to the movie theaters because that was a social activity to do. Now yep. there's a million ways to communicate with your friends without actually having to go to the movie theater. Like we could, like I can just like kids can just play Fortnite together. People can just play whatever they are. They can just talk to each other on fucking text. They can just FaceTime each other. Like there's a million ways to communicate nowadays. So yeah. Anyways. Yeah. I guess I really have a point to end that off on. I really wish I had like a nice little bow to tie on, but gaming is not in trouble. Entertainment is not in trouble, but we are in a weird pivot spot where I don't think anybody knows what to do or how, like what the answer, like the answer is not out there yet. The next big thing hasn't come yet. People haven't figured out, like we haven't had that, like internet is like the next big thing. Podcasting isn't the next big thing. No one's figured it out yet. It's an issue. All these entertainment industries are throwing shit right now at the wall to see what sticks. And yeah, I don't know. We're just in a weird spot right now with entertainment. I hope it turns around. I want all three of these to be successful and do well. I don't want the Nintendo Switch 2 to be the Wii U. I don't want the Xbox Series X to be an Xbox One. I don't want the PS5 to be a PS3. I don't have a weird way to wrap it up. I'm sorry for the tangent there, Gables. Last thing here, multi-platform with PC. My big thing here, I think I'm assuming we're talking about here is like most of these games, like most of the PS PlayStation games that come to consoles are usually like 2-3 years later. I'm gonna guess they probably want to tighten up that window. Maybe not go day and date, but maybe it's a year instead of 3 years instead of 2 years. Like, you know, like I don't think Forbidden West hasn't come. I don't think Forbidden West has come to that game is a 2021 game. I don't believe it's on PC yet. So
no, not yet.
Yeah, but like I think also part of the problem here is like. They put shit on PC and it's just kind of like Uncharted 4. Like they did that PS5 remaster for Uncharted 4 and Lost Legacy, and they said it's coming later to PC. And then it came like they just like it just came on PC and they like they made it like they announced it, like 3 days beforehand. And it was like, all right, cool, it's out in 3 days. So maybe also market that shit a little bit more. That'd be my last thing on that. Put some work into it. But anyways, Gables, let's get into some other news this week here. Not too much, Gables, NCAA football from EA, we finally got a reveal for that. Kind of like, not a reveal, but they announced it's coming this year, which I think we already kind of knew about, but it's been delayed multiple times, so I get why they announced it. But they said there's going to be a full reveal in May, so that's pretty exciting. The date leaked a while ago, and I talked about it on the podcast. I don't remember what it is now, but it was like, I think it was like late June, which was usually the case. Usually it came out in like mid June and then like 2 months and then August was, Madden. So, keep an eye on that one. But, next up here, we talked about already, there's that partner direct, possible Nintendo Direct coming next week. So, now knowing it's a partner direct, where's your, anticipation level for this?
The anticipation level is pretty low, honestly. If we're just getting like a partner direct and stuff, we're just getting a whole bunch of like random stuff. Maybe the biggest thing is probably going to be like Microsoft going through announcing their games, like coming to the Switch and stuff. But other than that, I really have low expectations. I don't expect a whole lot. I expect some indie games being shown, maybe some of which are not going to be around my cup of tea or your cup of tea or whatever. And then there's going to be some like good games, probably like Hi-Fi Rush, probably like on like live service games like Sea of Thieves or whatsoever. But yeah. I really feel like this whole like showcase, like partner direct, is just going to be like, oh, okay, this is going to be like a middle of the road thing. It's like, I can understand why they're doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we've had like a good partner direct yet. So it's kind of like, it's like, oh, cool, a bunch of third-party games that were already on platforms several years ago. Here's a worse way to play them, I guess. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, I'm always excited for the direct. Even a bad one still kind of it still could be entertaining. Except for that one where
It
they had
can be.
like except for the one where they had like a million Japanese farming simulator games. Let's never do that again. That was maybe the most dreadful 40 minutes of my life. Next up here, Respawn, people that made like Titanfall and the Star Wars Jedi Survivor games, apparently is making a Mandalorian game, so that's pretty exciting. It sounds it's gonna be like kind of like taking some influence from Titanfall, which if this is how I gotta get Titanfall 3 Gables, is how I get Titanfall 3. I don't care. At this point, I'm a desperate man who will do bad things for. I would go on a John Wick like rampage for Titanfall 3, honestly. But I think is that all I have here? Yeah, that's all I have here. All right. Well, Gables, let's get into what we've been playing. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first, buddy?
I think I'll go first.
Okay.
So, like I referenced you at the beginning part of the show, I decided to play a couple different types of games. I finished up the rest of my playthrough of Pokemon Crystal. I finally got through the entirety of Kanto, got through the entirety of just having my team, my party of five and stuff like that, like just rampaging through, the different gym leaders in Kanto, like Brock, Misty, Dennis, Surge, Erica, Cove, like Jeanine, stuff like that, and like Sabrina. What's kind of hilarious is I tried to fight Sabrina first and I end up like losing because, well, my party was not leveled up to the extent to try to withstand her Alakazam. It basically outsped me, used Psychic, kind of just wiped me out and stuff like that. But yeah, I've really enjoyed this playthrough though. I mean, I finally went up to Red. I finally beat Red and stuff after grinding literally until like I got to at least my mid-50s. I got lucky a couple different times in terms of the Snorlax and also Red's like Espeon and stuff. But in the end, I ended up beating his Charizard with my Feraligatr, Dinkleberg. So Dinkleberg was pretty much the savior of this run. But I really enjoyed my playthrough of Pokemon Crystal. It was very fun just to go and experience things, kind of like how I used to play through the game initially as a kid. I decided to investigate a whole bunch of different things. And what's interesting to note is this version of Pokemon Crystal, because it's on the Virtual Console, it has that Celebi event. So basically, back when you had to do a couple different things in order to get the Celebi event, like say in Japan, in order to trigger inside of like the Ilex Forest, right? There's a shrine. And so basically what you have to do is you're gifted a GS ball and you have to take it to Kirk, inside of like oh God, inside of like one of the villages, right, in Azalea Town. And so he tells you to come back the next day and like you basically get this specific type of ball, you go into the Ilex Forest, and that's where the little thing plays to where Celebi actually comes out, and that you can actually battle Celebi. So it actually has the original event for Pokemon Crystal inside of that version. That would be the equivalent of, like, say, back in the day, if like Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow had the Mew event somewhere inside there, or had Professor Oak as like a, as a battleable NPC instead of being hidden inside the game data. But yeah, there's just so much different things like I enjoyed about this playthrough, like the whole aspect of discover, just little touches here and there, and how the version feels better than like say Gold and Silver, the additional NPC stuff, the additional like move tutors and stuff, because that's where move tutors really came into play, was with Crystal before Generation 3 kind of elaborated upon that and stuff. But yeah, my final team, I had my Magmar, had my Feraligatr, had my Crobat, and like my Haunter and stuff. All of them was really fun just to go and like just experiment with different moves and stuff. Also learned a couple different things not to do the next time, like say invest time inside of a Hoot Hoot and a Noctowl, because the move set for Noctowl is shit. It literally only has Peck as a flying type move until you get Fly, the HM, the double HM move and stuff. But I almost actually forgot about my Vitrubel as well, you know? Like, my Vitrubel, like, freaking had its moveset all nice and neat and stuff. I used Cut as one of the moves and stuff for the Vitrubel for, like, almost my entire run, which it wasn't bad, but yet it really could have been nice if I would have had access to that and had another Pokemon learn Cut, because I could have just taught it Sludge Bomb, which is such a better move. It's like a 90 power poison attack. It's stab, so it does more damage and stuff. But after finishing up Pokemon Crystal, I delved headfirst into Tekken 8. Holy shit. This game is phenomenal. I'll tell you why, man. It's because it's not just the presentation of how the game looks and stuff. It's not just the combat itself. I mean, it's very intense in terms of its fast-paced, like, action-oriented style. It feels more aggressive in terms of how you execute your moves, how you go and plan out your juggles, how you try to plan out different ways to try to counter your opponent. You have, like, an active, like, sort of, like, it almost feels like an active, like, parry thing, close to similar to, like, say, what Street Fighter VI does, but there are some key differences to it. But, it also has sort of like a shortcut style, sort of like how Street Fighter VI does with its fighting style, where you press L1 on the controller and stuff, and like you can perform like certain air combos or certain like special combos, or you just press the X button and stuff, and you can just instantly go and just reverse like parry and like knock your opponent off guard and stuff. Oh man, the story mode itself took around a little over 5.5 hours to go forth and play through. It's actually not too bad. It's so cool inside of a like stupid fun sort of way. Like, you'll have a whole bunch of different characters, you know, you're basically focusing on Jin Kazama and stuff, like battling like Kazuya and stuff, and so these two characters and stuff, that the Devil Gene and stuff like that, are just battling one another and stuff. And this is basically like a continuation to like the Tekken story has been like since the beginning all the way up till now. And like Tekken 7, like Kazuya like pretty much kills Heihachi and stuff, and then like in this one you have pretty much like a stereotypical sort of like man versus self sort of story thing, where you have what, like Jin Kazama and stuff, he has the Devil Gene and stuff, he can actually transform into like a devil like state, as does Ka like Kazuya and stuff. Both of them are like polar opposites. Like, you have like extreme like evil and stuff like that with Kazuya and stuff, and then like with Jean, he has to go forth on like a sort of like a self-discovery sort of like mission, just to try to figure like, okay, what is the Kazama style and stuff like that that his mom taught him and stuff. What are the lessons to try to regain his power, since he kind of like loses his sense of like transforming into like this powerful state, you know, with Devil Jean and stuff. But along the way, though, you get a chance to not only like combat and like just learn a whole bunch of different moves for like with Jin, but also you get a chance in certain aspects to try different characters. You get to choose inside of like one of two like different characters depending upon each round of like a specific type of tournament inside the story. I had a hell of a fun time playing as King. I had a hell of a fun time playing as like Victor. Holy shit. For King, it's basically almost any type of pro wrestler, type of fighter character, right? It's so hilarious, like, just to combo somebody into, like, a sit-down power bomb, or, like, a fucking, like, do all these various clotheslines or some shit and stuff. And King is so fast, and he has these awesome, like, close-quarter, like, moves and stuff, that he feels so smooth. But let me tell you something. Playing as Victor, the old French guy and stuff like that, with the sunglasses, that's basically almost, like, a rival to, like, Raven and stuff for that same like similar type of style and stuff. This sort of like Master Ninja and stuff like that, he's so super quick to combo into different types of moves, that when you actually do like a couple different types of like combo stuff, like sometimes the default thing I go to is like go from like a quick input of like square, triangle, square and stuff, and see what I can experiment with. Because some of the basic moves are kind of the same thing across multiple different characters, to where there's just certain button commands you do with some of the buttons that will lead to certain combos. Try doing similar things. I got all sorts of different types of fucking reaction stuff. But King was fun to play. I mean, Victor was fun to play. Reyna, the new character that's introduced and stuff, she was actually pretty damn fun to play as well. But let me tell you something. This epic battle between Jin and like Kazuya and stuff. Oh my god. This takes so many different turns. There's so many different battles between these two, and it's in the most epic way possible. I'm not sure if you're ever gonna want to try to play Tekken 8, Tyler, in terms of the story mode stuff, but let me just warn the listeners right now. I am gonna delve deep inside of it. I mean, if you want to listen to me talk, that's fine. But if you want to experience the story mode for yourself, let me just tell you, man, it's an action game worth like just all these action set pieces and stuff, and it feels so fucking awesome just to experience through. Cause you'll have different battles to where you're fighting in double states and stuff like that, just kicking the shit out of each other, and then all of a sudden the battle sort of escalates and stuff. Like no one's backing down or something until finally, like, Jin finally finds out who he is and stuff, and he can transform almost to like this angel-like state. And this battle is so epic that they literally take it into outer space, and they're like fighting on a fucking asteroid, and
What is
the
this?
asteroid, it's
Is
and
this
like the
Fast and
battle
Furious
is.
10 or something? Jesus
Dude.
Christ.
Dude, they're literally on top of this fault, this asteroid above the Earth, right? And it's like they're battling each other and shit, and the fight is so epic that they actually have the asteroid crash all the way down to Earth while they're fighting on top of it. And it's like right set near the ocean and stuff. And the literal final battle of this entire story mode is like them without any powers, without anything. It's just pure vanilla, like Tekken 8 style match and stuff that you have to win. Oh my god, dude. Oh, just the back and forth shit, but how crazy and epic it gets, though, is just amazing because it's like, it's that type of shit where you watch an action movie, you don't think they're gonna go there, and then like they go there and not just go there, but it just starts cranked up to 10. Oh my god, yeah. So I've finished the story mode for that. There are other set character story mode things. It's chapters that you can go through, as well as the arcade mode, and like I have not even tried online yet. I'm gonna wait on that for a little bit until I get more familiarized with the game. Even though I got a good concept, a grasp of how Tekken 8 plays, I never really fully felt like I could execute certain things like consistently the way I wanted to. And I played it all on PC. I decided to do a couple of little adjustments and stuff with the fidelity. Looks fucking smooth. I mean, holy shit, it looks so crisp in motion and stuff. But I also used a little technique and stuff like that too. Like, I reduced the lag and input. So when I'm like playing with my PS5 controller and stuff, I'm like, okay, I'm getting things off. I'm getting combos off. Like, there's hardly any delay on it. There's nothing else that's like crazy in that regards. But after I finished up that, I pretty much like I spend the rest of this week like, okay, what am I gonna play here? And so I decided to play a little bit of Persona 3 Reload. I played like a couple of hours of that. I'm still in the beginning portions of the game because it's mostly a story set piece. With the Persona games, it doesn't matter whether if you start like say Persona 3 Reload or 4 Golden or 5 Royal. The first couple of hours are like an introductory into the story and like the settings of that game itself. So this is no different. I'm just about to go and entered Tartarus for the first time with my crew.
Doctor
But
Who's
that
there?
was like, what's that?
Doctor Who's there?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
I can see what you think that though, but that was like back on Wednesday. But
Wednesday from Adam's
yesterday.
Family?
No, Tyler. And there's no cousin it either.
Oh, well, I'm out. No Doctor Who, no Wednesday, no It, I'm out.
The last game I did play that I told you before is like it kind of is similar to that of like a Vampire Survivors. No, it's Brotato.
Oh
Brotato.
yeah,
This is
it's
the
on Game Pass,
game.
isn't it?
Yeah, it's the game that just got uploaded onto Game Pass. And I totally get why people feel it's like, say, a Vampire Survivors inspired type of game. So your core concept is you're this little like potato, right? You can choose of one of different like a couple different types. Each of them have their own like stat advantages or disadvantages, but it does things with a twist. You can collect all these different items like through each wave. Each wave is like a specific amount of time. Like I think it's only like maybe like about a couple minutes that you're given for each round, but you can have a maximum of like six weapons at a time. Like so you can double up and have like two shurikens or like a two double barrel shotguns or. You can easily go through and recycle a weapon and replace it with its more powerful form. there is a lot of room for experimentation in terms of how you do your runs, like with your rotato. But I played like an initial, I think it was an hour's worth yesterday. I had like a couple different runs. I lasted my first run into like about wave 10, and then the second one was like almost like wave 15 or something like that. But the game is fun. It's not even that expensive either. I looked on Steam. It's actually $5.
Like
This game
Vampire
is
Survivors.
$5. Yeah, kind of like the same as Vampire Survivors and stuff. And yeah, even on sale right now for like $3.74 and stuff on Steam. But yeah, this game is actually pretty fun for like a pick-up and play sort of thing. Like, I kind of wish I could play it like in like a handheld mode, because this is the type of ideal game you just play like maybe in bed or some shit, and then like just do a whole bunch of different shit in that. But that's what I've been playing this week, Tyler. So what have you been doing?
I've been playing mainly one game, Helldivers 2. I just picked it up today, so I've only spent like probably like 3 hours with it, give or take. I was telling Gables for the show that I basically spent the whole week like trying to find a physical copy of this game. I usually, if it's a game I know I'm gonna play like multiple times, like a big game, like a God of War or Final Fantasy 7, like I'm gonna buy the game digitally because I'm gonna play it again and again. But games like I might play for like a month or so, I try to buy physically and then I could trade them in. But I just couldn't. Nobody had it. Like Amazon was like, you can get it like in March. Like that's like how like hard it is to get one. I'm like, all
Wow.
right, well that's not happening. So I ended up just buckling and just getting it digitally. It's $40. Not full
Is it
price.
online only?
Online. Yeah, it's only. But you can play it by yourself, so you don't have to play. It's all PvE as well. I just want to say, I talk so much shit about this game, not so much shit. I said multiple times, time and time again, when it was announced, the week before it came out, this game was. I just was a couple weeks ago we talked about Foam Stars. I'm like, man, put Foam Stars on PS Plus, but not Helldivers. I'm like, they're idiots. What are they doing? When they think who the fuck thinks that this game is dead on arrival? I was wrong. I will take the
No.
L on this one, Gables, and I'll gladly take the L. This game is fucking awesome. I adore this game.
Dude.
Gables?
I've been watching a bunch of this game on Switch. I'm on like on Twitch as well, you know. It
Gables,
actually looks pretty damn fun.
you need to buy this game.
Oh
Come play with me. This game, I haven't.
yeah?
This game, the missions are pretty short. Like most of the missions, you have like 40-minute time limits, but
Yep.
you can. Most of the games are like 10, 12 minutes. And it's pretty much all it's Starship Troopers. If people like, I mean, which I know has been said a million times, like that was the original reveal. It's like, oh, start like I remember like doing a live reaction when they was revealing. Like, is this a start? Is it like they just released a Starship Troopers game, which is nuts. They put a Starship Trooper game out last year, and this game is more Starship Troopers than that fucking game was. Like that like came out, it was like a and it was a serious extraction shooter game, and this is like, hey, this is a goofy. This is like everything you want. Out of like that like if you know this thing you're gonna love it. And yeah, like right off the bat, like the fucking tutorial is it's just it reminds me of like the basic training in the movie itself. And like talking to like the characters when like there's no like big like area you walk around in like you know like all live service games there is like on you go to your ship, you name your ship, and there are people on your ship, and there's a HUD for like here's where you buy you can like take in certain upgrades. Like you can drop weapons to you, resupplies, stuff like that. You can drop on and like they do damage as well. If you can make it so they land on enemies, it will kill them. Or if you land on yourself or other teammates, it'll kill them as well. But like you can like unlike you earn currency for to buy upgrades for that. So you can have better like you can unlock like a turret or a certain like a flamethrower or something like that. And then like there's one for like you could like your gear and like weapons stuff like that, but for the most part it's like there's not a lot to it. But you streamline, boom, you get right to the next game. Games are pretty fast and easy. And like I was doing some by myself, and I was having a good time with that. Like it can be pretty difficult by yourself, obviously. But like some of the missions are pretty difficult. There are different difficulty levels. I'm playing on like the lowest one right now because I'm only like I think I'm like
Oh,
level
dude.
7. Go ahead.
I'm just speaking about like difficulty levels and stuff. I think I was watching one stream earlier on this morning before going off to work, and there was some dude literally have it on the hardest difficulty setting,
Jesus.
And he's trying to do like these PvE like stuff like this by himself and stuff. He managed to get like one tank thing like initial. He was able to clear that out. But he had all these giant freaking insects just like just mobbing at him and stuff like that. It was so freaking intense.
Sorry, but yeah,
That's
you can
okay.
get swarmed pretty easily. Like I said, I'm playing on the lowest one, but like definitely playing this by myself. I lost. Like I think you get five revives for each person playing. So,
Okay.
and then like, I think after that you get one more, but there's like a 2 minute countdown to the next one. So yeah, if you die five times, like if you're playing by yourself, then you gotta survive for 2 minutes on the next one, and then you get one more revive. But it's like you go into the mission. Like usually it's like, hey, like, all right, cool, this tanker, you gotta like turn the valves to get the fuel, like get more fuel to turn on, like they get the fuel, or like some, like you just gotta go and like empty out, like, you know, like I mean it's a lot of the same mission types over and over again, but like each one is completely different and like it's fun, and like they add different like character, like there's different enemy types in there. So far I don't know how it's gonna be like 10 hours from now, but so far I'm having a great time with it. And what's cool is like it's all about, you know, everything's for democracy and shit like that. Everybody's like, for democracy and like liberation. And but like what's cool is like people got like, it's almost like Mass Effect 3. Remember the multiplayer thing where like, I can't remember
Yep.
what it was called, but like you had to like hit the 100% to like
I remember that.
for the main game. It's all like that where like you have to like liberate all these different planets and do missions, and like everybody working together is slowly liberating all of these planets, like push all
Yep.
the aliens, all the bugs, and there's bots as well, like robots to fight as well. The robots I think are harder than the bugs are so far, but like you like slowly liberate these planets to up to 100%, and you can see the planets and they're like are already like done online, and then like but like it's then there's like certain parts where like it's almost kind of like Destiny 2. Remember like when you're like running around and then like there's an event that happens, and like
Yes.
all of a sudden like a swarm. It's kind of like that, and like you go like a certain planet will have like a thing on it like defend, and you have to go defend it, and like the missions are a little more challenging, and it's like they're like the bugs or the robots are like pushing back on this planet, and you got to go in there and
Damn.
take them out and like stop them. And so it's pretty cool like jumping into it, and like I'm on a Reddit page I'm on, I was like I like people were like you can like you can generate a friend code, and so you have a different friends list on this than like your actual PlayStation or PC.
Oh.
So like you hit like triangle on the main menu and it generates a friend code, and I put my friend code in there. So I put it like I have a bunch of friends now on there, and they're just joining my games. I'm not talking to them or anything like that, but it works just as well. Doing
Oh.
that like a couple times, I did shoot one guy in the head. To be fair, he walked in front of me. I was shooting and he walked in front of me. I shot him in the head. It's his fault, not mine. Fuck him. But yeah. I mean, I can't believe how much like I like I said I look. It's so easy and like. To be out on games as a service, I just beat Suicide Squad. I went on a rant last week about this game, but it's so crazy how like hot and cold this shit can run. Where it's like, you know, like fucking a couple weeks ago, I was like, man, why is everything about games as a service? And then this week, I'm like, this game is fucking great. Like it's so funny. Like it does have a battle pass. It does have all that shit. You can like it has a free battle pass and it has the paid battle pass. You can unlock different weapons and different.
Oh, yeah.
There's weapons like that, but it's all cosmetic shit. It doesn't really make it. I don't think it. From what I can understand, it doesn't make a difference. And then if you buy the battle pass, everything you can earn enough in the battle pass to like buy the next battle pass. I don't know how long they go on for though. I'm having. It's just. It's a really fun, great game. Like, I don't know how much I'm gonna play it for. Maybe I'll. I maybe like I'm, this is something to hold me over until Final Fantasy comes out. But I don't know. Like a couple weeks, if I get like a solid 10, 15 hours out of this game, and I move on in a couple weeks, like. I'm fine. That's totally happy with that. But
Could be
man,
a good
like,
extra life game too.
oh man, I hope this game is still. God damn it, Gables! Why couldn't this game come out like in like September instead? Man, I hope this game is still around, like doing well in fucking November. Because yeah, I would. This would be a great game to like jump in and like get some extra life people going together and playing. But yeah,
Oh
this is
yeah.
a man. This is a good game. And like you know, we talk a lot of shit about PlayStation, the future of the games as a service shit. Obviously, they have like a dozen, and then the other 11 they can completely fuck up. But so far, they're batting 1,000, like one for one here.
Yep.
Like this is a great game, and I'm really liking it. Right now, the big it's almost like a Final Fantasy 14 issue, not on that scale. But the problem is the game is so much more popular than they thought it would be. That the server's driving issues right now, like
Yes.
it takes like 5 minutes to get into the game. But once you're in the game, you can play and you're fine. But like it takes like you might sit at the main menu for a few minutes to wait right now. And like this weekend they're doing an extra 50% XP boost and everything. So, yeah, so it helps leveling up as well. So, but man, oh, I just want to play more Helldivers 2, Gables. It's so fun. I don't know. Maybe in a week I'm like I play like 2 more hours. I'm off of it. But right now, man, it's so much fun. I can't wait. I'm gonna play more. I'm gonna play a bunch tomorrow. And then hopefully I'll be off Wednesday. I'm gonna play a bunch on Wednesday because this game fucking rules. So yeah, that's all I've been playing. Helldivers 2.
All right.
But I think that might wrap it up this week, Gables. It's so funny. Like last week, I was like angry ranting about a games of service game, and this week I'm like happily ranting about games of service game. It's so weird. Video games are fucking weird. It's a fickle thing. But yeah, I think that's gonna wrap it up this week, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Check us out all the places, you know, all, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all the same. Wherever you want to go, we're probably there. 5-star reviews, likes, comments, share with your friends, tell your friends what we can do. We appreciate it. But I was your host, I was Tyler.
And I've been Colonel Gables. So until next time, everyone, thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of the Drunk Dash Nerds podcast.
And hey, Gables.
Yeah.
For democracy.
For democracy.
Bye, guys.
See ya.